Don't you think it would have been a fabulous sight? Who's ever been to a football match?
Yes.
There you go then. You know how excited people get when they all get together and something is happening. And you get involved and you get drawn in. And you want to be a little bit nosy. And you want to be part of it. And you get all excited. And you don't even know what's happening, but the whole atmosphere just soaks you up. When Richard first came over from Jersey, I took him to a football match. Not that I'd ever been to one before. But I thought, because he liked Liverpool, I thought it would be a great thing to do together. So off we went to Stoke. And I sat there in the stands with my dad and Richard. And it was very small compared to what you see on the television. On the television, they run for miles, don't they, all the way down this pitch. And when you actually go and see it, it's a little thing, isn't it? And I thought, that's a bit disappointing. And I was sitting there chatting to Richard, saying, it's very small, isn't it, Rich? You know, on the telly, they walk for miles, they run for miles, and I thought they were really fit. And he said, and it was great, it was raw. I said, what's happened? He says, they've just scored and I missed it because you were talking to me. And I said, don't worry, they can do a replay. And he said, Cathy, it's real life. I sat there and I said to Richard, I like when it's good. I love people watching. They're really involved in what they're doing. And he said, will you shut up? Richard, look at him down there. He's not doing much, is he? Sorry. Big roar from behind. I'm never ever going to another football match with you. You're a pain. I've quite enjoyed myself, people watching. But getting into the atmosphere of things. Have you ever been to a great big concert or a great big evangelical meeting? And the buzz and the feeling and the excitement as you're going in just kind of catches you. And you think, yes, I want to be part of this. I want to join in and be part of it. But what is worship? Do you think that everything that those people on Palm Sunday did was worship? I've been brought up in churches. And I know a lot about church life. And I know that worship is when the worship lead stands up and they lead you into worship and then it stops and you have the boring bit of the sermon. And then you have, you know, that bit where they do the prayers and then you have your coffee and your tea and you all meet together and you have a chat and it's really nice to meet up with your friends. And then you feel good at the end of it because you've done your worship bit. You've come in and you've done your singing and your praise and you've done your happy bit and you're all happy and your batteries are all charged up and you can go away and you can be okay for the next week. But you start to dwindle off about Thursday, Friday and you think, and then Sunday morning, it's a glorious day like it is today. And you jump out of bed, if you're Steve, apparently. You're dragged out of bed by Emily, if you're me. You think, church today. I can go and I can get my batteries recharged. Next week. Is that what worship is all about? Is it about us? Is it about us getting excited for 10 minutes on a Sunday morning and we can go, we can join them and open the book, we can shout a bit, we can sing, we can dance because people don't mind if you dance in church. You might look a bit stupid if you're out on the street, but it doesn't matter in church because they're all mad in there. Is that what worship's about? Or is it something else? Is worship a part of life? Or should it be a part of life? Do you go out in the morning and you say, thank you God for such a wonderful day? Or do you go out and you say, God, did you have to make it rain on the school run again? We do. We go outside and sometimes the weather affects how we feel. Sometimes what's happened the night before affects how we feel. Sometimes we get out of bed and we don't even think about God. Is that living a life of praise and worship? Is that all that He is worth? How can we live?
live a life of worship. What does a life of worship mean to us? How can we do it?
Am I special? Of course I am, I'm me. Are you special?
Of course you are. You're all individuals. You've all been specifically made and created by God.
Jesus said, the religious leaders said, tell those people they can't shout out and worship you like that. Jesus said, if they were quiet, even the stones would jump and cry out with praise for me. I'd quite like to be a stone. Not that I got trodden on or anything, but I'd quite like to be a stone and just want to worship and praise. As you came into church this morning, how many of you saw that glorious bank of white trees on the other side of the road and thought, wow, that is creation. That is worth saying thank you to God for. I've driven past these trees a few times just because they're so beautiful and I like seeing them. I've driven past, and every time I've driven past I said, thank you God, that is so special. That's something that gives my heart a little buzz. I want to praise you. I want to say thank you for that. What is worship? It's not just singing. Singing is the tiniest part of worship. It's a total liturgy. It's a totalness of our lives if we truly, truly understand and know what God did for us. If we know and understand how much he gave for us. There are lots of fabulous hymns all about worship. Love divine, all loves excelling. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. I used to think that used to mean if there were 1,000 people there all singing. But it doesn't. It means if every single one of us had got 1,000 tongues to sing, they'd all be singing the praise and glory of God. I couldn't quite fit 1,000 tongues in my mouth. It's quite big, but it won't fit in 1,000 tongues. But I'd love to be able to, with all of my being, praise and worship. Wouldn't you? How do we do it? How do we do it? We're not just recharging our batteries. We are here to give worship and praise to God. Do you know, this is a beautiful church. People say to me, which church do you go to? And I say St. Lawrence. And they say, beautiful church. It must be lovely worshipping there. I don't just worship here. I don't go to another church. I go outside. I'm at home. I'm at work when I'm cleaning the windows. And I see outside a little bird. And I see God's beautiful creation. And I see how much he cares for me. A lot of you will know that we've struggled with finances and lots of things over the years. Excuse me. But God says that he cares for the little flowers. He cares for the tiny birds. And they don't fret about something. I've realised that as I get older, you get worry lines, don't you? But I've decided there's no point in worrying because it doesn't actually do me any good. It makes me miserable. Gives me frown lines. Spoils my beautiful complexion. But it doesn't actually achieve anything. But when I praise God, it's not just about how I feel. It's about what he does then for me. I praise him and he pours his love out. That song that we just sung said, and heavens opened. The heavens open and pour down love and grace and mercy. There are many advantages to be gained from corporate worship. This is corporate worship. It's a big word. This is corporate worship when we all get together. But we can worship just as well on our own. We can worship and praise every time we walk out of the door. We can worship and praise every time we breathe and say, thank you, God. When I was in China, there was a young couple there who'd got a little boy, I think it was. And everywhere they went, whatever they were doing, the mum used to say, so, it didn't particularly bother me that one, but the beautiful flowers. When I sat on the steps, I felt myself being watched and turned around, and there's a great big dragon thing, and the dragons changing colours. And you think, oh, that is so fantastic. We can find something to praise in every single situation. I'm not saying at all that life is easy. Life is hard, but all the way through, we know that God loves us. Amanda can tell us of the peace that she felt knowing that God loved her, and that allowed her to praise and to worship in the darkest of days. We can all worship and praise in the darkest of days. It's not just a matter of although sometimes it is. Sometimes it's a matter of, I am going to praise regardless. And you know, the more that we open our mouths, the more that we open our hearts, the more he pours out his love and his grace. And do you know something else? When we start to live a life of worship, we start to complete and to do one of Jesus' last commandments, and that was to evangelise. What's worship got to do with evangelism? Everything. Two totally opposite things, but there is everything. In our worship, our lives change, and we become a different person. We can show people by the way that we live who we worship. When we talk about, and I've said this before, my mum used to be a teacher, and she used to talk about Jesus as openly in the staff room, as some of the others did about the football team. Because that, Jesus was more important to her than a football team. Jesus was so important to her that she just wanted to share him with everybody. No matter who they were, or what they were doing at the time, they were saying, do you know, I had a fantastic game at Stoke or Liverpool or Portman, and we scored 55,000 goals. I was saying, do you know, Jesus came and died on the cross for me. He gave everything just for me. That's evangelism through worship. As we worship and we open our mouths and we use our bodies to praise and to thank God and to glorify him, people can see the difference and say, how can you stand up there and do that? How can you stand in an open air meeting and do that? How can you do that secret that nobody knows about yet? How can you do that? Because the desire to worship becomes consumed and becomes what you really, really want to do. You're not waiting to come to church. You're rushing to come to church. You're rushing just to go outside and say, thank you, God, for a beautiful day. I want to encourage you this morning to praise just in a word, in an action, at any time. If somebody says to you, what did you do yesterday? Don't say, it was a glorious afternoon. I went to the park. Not that most of you would probably go to the park, but say, I had a fantastic time. I went to church. Listened to a fantastic sermon. Had a fantastic time. And we praise God. And we worship him. And I go, what? Are you mad? But that's a form of worship. That's evangelism. That's doing exactly what Jesus wanted us to do. To go out
to live for him in our world. He came into our world. He knows how difficult it is to take time apart sometimes to just pray. But to live a life of worship is what we were born for. To fill that heart-shaped, that God-shaped space, we need to worship. We need to get to know him. To know him as our best friend. To get to know him better than we know our loved ones. Because he loves every single head here. Every hair he can count. And you are so, so precious. And he is more precious than gold to us.